Donald Trump's claims that 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in US history this week. It's going to be a little bit embarrassing if he actually wins. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each week and every week leading up to the November election, wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Trump finally came out and said it last week, a suggestion that has long been floating in the wings, tweeting that with universal mail-in voting, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history, and suggested delaying the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote? ? Ed, thoughts on this one?
Is this a reference to COVID-19 or something else? He's never mentioned that before. A little bit weird. I wonder if he has something up his sleeve, like suggesting an executive order to postpone the election. However, that ball's been kicked down the street. Nobody's interested in it. Even his loyal supporters have said no to that idea.
Couple of things here. Firstly, this little thought bubble came immediately after the news that the United States' second quarter GDP hit a historic low. Firstly, just how bad is the economic outlook right now?
Lower than the Depression. And getting worse. There are no signs of recovery anymore. There was this blip when the states opened up, which surprised me a little bit because that's mostly retail sector, gyms and bars and cafes. But people started hiring people for a month. But that month was very costly because COVID deaths, disease, and so many people, young people who work in those establishments, has gone through the roof, and deaths will follow. So that blip he was using to judge the future on, and it was a failed future. And it looks like the ongoing economy is falling even faster. So this is something deeper than a depression. I don't know how the United States gets out of this. Printing money is just not going to be enough.
Second part of this, these constant attacks on mail-in voting. We know Republicans want to restrict voting in general as much as possible, but some Republicans are fearing Trump's attacks on mail-in voting could now keep a great deal of their own voters from being able to vote, given their demographics skewing towards older people, more rural people, those most likely to use these kind of mail-in ballots. Any thoughts?
Well, that's exactly right. The people who usually mail in are the people who live in rural areas in what you might call the third ring of suburbs, where it's too far to get to a polling place. Schools are far away and other polling places are very far away. So this would be suppressing his own voters. Now, as soon as he says it's okay, it's got to be okay in the cities. And the voters he doesn't want to mail in are the black and brown voters. He wants them to stand in line, get discouraged, and go away. By having this new technique, that is, and I've received one myself, I already have my sample ballot for California. And I will get a month before the election, the final ballot. So I'm prepared. And I can mail that ballot in a full month before the election. Now, unless it's held up in the Australian post office and then again in the California post office, maybe I should go down to the post office and make sure they put stamps on both these. I will be all right. I really think it's very important here for people to understand that the idea, some crazy Australian idea, that every vote should count. Not just some.
It's outside the US, but I think we should cover this one this week. The situation in Beirut, extraordinary footage coming out of that explosion down by the port. Terrible, terrible situation, of course. Scientists are now saying this was basically one of the largest non-nuclear explosions ever beheld on the Earth's surface. Now, the situation in Lebanon was already fairly strained with their economic outlook and the impact of COVID-19. Just how hard is this blast going to hit them?
It's going to hit them very hard because they don't have anything to fall back on. Their currency has gone down by 80%. Many stores and restaurants are closed, both because of COVID and because the currency is so low and you can't get goods from overseas. Now, this blast occurred apparently because they stored hijacked and illegal phosphates, fertilizers, in these warehouses near the pier before the cases came to trial. God, that's like scoring guns in a kindergarten. It's really a stupid thing to do. Nonetheless, it was done. If there had been any stupidity there, any act of stupidity, somebody lighting a cigarette or something in the warehouse, this would have happened. So now a crippled country is really crippled. Beirut was one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And I have a friend there. I've had many friends from there. I've not been there. I came very close just before they sealed it off back in the 70s. But this is a disaster from which I'm not sure the country can recover. What happens next? Who knows?
Back in the United States, COVID, Trump has insisted most recently on the disease that it will go away like things go away. Solid course of action from the commander-in-chief.
He's talking about he's going away. I think you misunderstood his terminology. I'm going away. That's what he was saying. COVID's not going anywhere. And it's not going anywhere in Australia. We're having a very tough time in Victoria. This is a disease that just latches on. And if you make one or two missteps, it's over.
I think it will be fascinating actually studying the Victoria case basically after the race is run. Something that actually has gone away, though, in the United States is Americans' unemployment benefits and eviction protections during COVID as Republicans continue to argue this one out.
Interestingly enough, I was just watching CNN's latest report before I came on, and the Republicans have caved. They're going to put in all the securities the Democrats are asking for. They may get a little something out of this on the backside. I'm not sure. They're not arguing about the $650 anymore. It might be $600, not $650. They're not arguing about any of the big things. Now they're arguing about how much goes to school districts and local governments and other entities that have lost so much money and are on the brink of bankruptcy because they've had to employ so many people to deal with this pandemic. So the questionnaire is how much of the Democratic bill goes through. Now, unfortunately, the fortunate thing is this is going to happen. The unfortunate thing is the hubris of the Democrats after this will be unbelievable. And this could be very costly to Joe Biden.
Since we only touched on this last week, I did want to revisit some highlights from Attorney General William Barr's testimony before Congress.
Were there highlights? I thought they were all
lowlights. Lowlights might be the better word. Democrats claimed Barr had aided and abetted Trump, and you yourself said, Ed, Barr is a clear and present threat to American democracy. Now, first much was made over the extreme response by authorities to protests around the country, particularly in Portland. Can anything really be done when these extreme tactics were approved from the top?
Things have been done. The local cities, states, and the attorney generals of the states have sued the Justice Department, and that brought them back right away because these guys know if Trump loses, they could go to jail. The other thing is, it was sending the polls down. Trump thought this would get his voters behind him. It didn't. It had just the opposite effect. They got panicked and they got scared and they said, we want somebody else in because this is doing us no good at all. On the other side of things, in Portland, when the feds left, the demonstrators left, making a pretty good point, I think. Keep them out of town. Every one of the strategies Trump has been using to frighten, to confuse, to get people angry and upset has turned negative on him. And that doesn't mean Biden should say, hey, let him keep going. Biden does have to campaign. So I think his next steps are very, very important.
The Roger Stone case, Barr also received grilling over his interference with prosecutors there. Barr said, let me ask you, do you think it's fair for a 67-year-old man to be sent to prison for 7 to 9 years? I don't know, Ed. Is it fair? Is it his decision to make?
Well, if you're a black man of 7 or 77, you go to jail for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years for smoking a joint. The question is not a matter of fairness here. The question is let justice work itself out. Now, if Stone had gone to jail and a determination had been made by the parole agencies, he'd be better off at home like Manafort is. I think we'd all say probably right. Cohen's at home too. Probably right. But for that to take it out of the hand of the justice system is what was wrong.
And coming back to the topic of mail-in voting fraud, Barr's often operated as a mouthpiece for Trump on this one, claiming foreign actors could interfere with mail-in votes despite mountains of evidence to the contrary. He again claimed under oath mail-in voting could lead to a high risk of fraud. Now, I know you've said it, Ed, that Trump will have to accept the result of the election, and people say he can't delay the election, you know, no matter what he might have had in mind around that tweet last week. But if you have a Justice Department come out in November in the face of a Biden win and say, no, 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 we have an investigation going on that shows it was all fraudulent, just like the president said, all those votes are fraud, who is going to stop them?
The states. Fortunately, elections are in the states in the United States. The federal government has no control over elections. Now, the Democrats have been asking for federal money to go to the states. The Republicans stupidly have said, no, 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 we won't give them any money to do mail-in balloting. But if you gave them the money, you could say, oh my goodness, they misspent it. So actually, I think the mail-in balloting thing is over. There's attempts to delays like moving post offices, tying up central centers and so forth. It's been done so early that the smart thing for the Democrats to do is to have polling places, drop box all over the place with maybe one or two persons standing at them, authorized to receive that box. And when the box is full, take it right to the polling place and have the ballots counted. I think this one's pretty much over. Any consensus over, because now the Republicans are trying to get the census moved up so the census count will be done early, thereby missing a lot of Americans who live in rural areas who are hard to count, like homeless people, people who live on the streets, people who live in their cars, which drives up the urban count and allows the rural count to be more substantial than it is. And this is to gerrymander electoral districts. My own thinking here is, let's start looking at how the Republicans lose. It is pretty clear from the polling and from the evidence, the chart favorability chart on Trump is now well below water. That started affecting the Senate. The House, more Democrats, more left-wing Democrats will be in the House beyond what they already have. the Democrats only have to have four more people in the Senate. Now, if you do something to mess with people's unemployment insurance in Montana and in Georgia, you can lose those seats. And it's almost certain they're going to lose them in North Carolina, in Nevada, in Colorado, and Arizona. So it's possible to have a big majority in the House and the Senate for the Democrats. I don't care if Trump's the president then. He'll be impeached the second day. Biden needs to put forth his vice presidential candidate. He still acts like he's looking at a long list. I think it's a very short list. The question is, can anyone get ahead of Kamala Harris? Kamala has some strikes against her. She is not generally liked by a lot of suburban women. She wears a kind of a Clinton-esque dislike because she's so strong and powerful. So I think his next best take is Susan Rice, who's not liked by intellectuals, particularly intellectual Republicans and some Republican women. My guess right now is Susan Rice is running front, and that's the reason for the big delay.
And just obviously with the running mate situation, we were meant to know this week. We still don't know our time of recording, but it was meant to come out this week, and it has been a little bit delayed. There's also questions hanging over the presidential debates, what form they're likely to go ahead in, given all the conventions that have had to be skipped. You've even seen Biden, you know, skipping another one just now, I think Milwaukee. As you've said previously, Ed, neither of these men are necessarily great debaters. It's not going to be much of a spectacle, but we are assuming that these kind of events are going to go ahead, right?
Yes, we're assuming they're going to go ahead. Trump will make it a spectacle while Biden tries to stick to the facts. I think Biden has made a real big strategic error now. You've got to go to the Midwest. You've got to go to Wisconsin. You need to do it at the convention, even if it's just for one day, to accept, walk across the stage, get in your car, and get out of town. He has not got this election sewn up, and he has to be very careful how he treads. The Wisconsin debacle is now one mistake he's made. He can't afford a mistake on the VP, and he certainly can't afford a gaffe in the debates. It's his to win, and he could surely lose by being relatively timid and dumb at this point.
Ed and I will be back next week, hopefully with news of a Biden running mate, wherever you might find the podcast. Subscribe. And check us out on social media, Facebook and Twitter, at US of Ed.